And now it's time for our hosts. Andre, Ryan, Renee, take it away.
Yoo-hoo! Woo-hoo. Thank you, Susan. You did an awesome job again. Thank you for preparing us for this series, this three in the series. So appreciate your heart and your prayers. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Renee and Ryan, I'm sure you're on the Zoom tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right day, right time?
Yes, right day, right time. Ready to go?
Good. You know, last week we heard our monk Renee talk about the whole thing about still circling. And I'm wondering how many of us recognize that throughout this week. I'm sure, Renee, have you caught that even in your own life for this week, still circling?
Oh, I did at work. I had this like aha moment where I was like, wait a second. I think I've already tried this. It didn't work, you know? But that awareness piece was there for me to step back and say, oh, wait a second. I tried this. It didn't work. I got to rethink this. But yeah, so even this week, I was aware I was still circling around a certain issue. So,
hey, it's uppermost in my mind for sure. But hey, I really appreciate your presentation last week. It was really, you knocked it out of the park. So
thank you,
Renee. Ryan, tonight we're going to hear from you, one of my favorite, I don't want to say authors, you know, use that term, presenters, because you're very thorough and your wisdom that comes through when your heart is open, it just kind of gushes out. So tonight we're going to hear about Break Me. I'm so looking forward to that. Not that we all have to be broken, but I believe we do. How was your week, Brian?
Well, I've been going through, let's put it this way. Every time you give me a topic, I go through the topic. So well, when 2 months ago when you gave me Break Me, I was like, well, I know what the next 2 months are going to be like.
Good thing I didn't say crucifixion.
No, we don't need
so
that.
So I gave you a little lesser of a challenge, let's put it that way. So I see you got your buddy in back of you, so I think he'll be helping lead tonight. So and awesome. I'm glad you're on the call, and I'm looking forward to this call, this presentation tonight. And I wanted to just thank the participants for joining in this series. You motivate us by wanting to see the more, experience the more, and also experience the healing that takes place. And many of you have been writing in of your own experiences. We encourage that because it just helps, I call it, builds up our faith. But just thank you for supporting Celebrating Life and honoring Renee and Ryan in their presentations. Renee, can I ask you to open with prayer as we now dive into Break Me?
Yes, yes. Divine Presence, Father, Mother, God, Eternal Mystery, Divine Healing Presence, we believe in your boundless, unchanging love. We want to live this present moment in your peace, in your presence, knowing that you are for us at all times. We rest in the awareness of your love and your compassion. United with your presence and your power, we are filled with gratitude. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this teaching that we are about to receive into our hearts. We are confident of this one thing, that you, who have begun this good work in each of us, that we will bring this into completion with you, for you are faithful. Thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. Our series is called Entering Through the Narrow Gate. And tonight we're going to hear about Break Me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, God, challenges us. Our relations challenge us. Our workplace challenge us. But it's actually for a purpose, a divine purpose. And tonight we're going to hear from our monk, Ryan. So lead us in Break Me, Ryan.
Thank you, Padre. And thank you for that beautiful prayer, Renee. That was, I think you just gave my talk. Through that prayer. It was wonderful. Yes. So we're going to talk about what Spirit wants to talk about is, what is breaking? What does it mean? how do we allow it to happen? What comes of it? And so I'm gonna take people through some slides and some stories and bring Padre and Renee into a conversation too. I found this image, actually I think Miriam found it. It's by an artist named Greg Olson, and the title of it is Be Still. I just love this image of Jesus, my buddy, and it really represents the energy that wants to come through tonight. So, well, what I want to start with is just say a number of years ago, before I was in Celebrating Life or Oneness or FSD, before I knew Miriam, actually before I knew a lot of people here, actually before I knew anyone here, except my parents if they're on, I had a very deep prayer in my heart that came to me as I was on another spiritual path. And it just came suddenly and I felt it. I didn't know what it meant. And it said, I just said out loud, I want to be awakened. And I felt it just, I hadn't felt a strong prayer like that before. I felt prayers in my head, just more conceptual kinds of prayers, but this was deep in my heart. And right after this prayer, not too long after this prayer, I lost all kinds of things, money, jobs, relationships, my home. And I was like, what? What's going on here? This isn't what I just prayed for awakening. But what I gained literally right after that prayer was I heard about the school, Foundation for Spiritual Development, where Bishop Dana teaches. I heard about Celebrating Life. I heard about Oneness. And I met Miriam. So all those things happened very quickly together. And what I want to share is a little bit about that experience, some things that I've learned along the way about the breaking experience and about God. This is a painting that Miriam did a number of years ago. And I didn't realize it, so I kept staring at it. And I said, oh my God, this is the initial prayer that I had to be awakened. I didn't know at the time that awakening was going to release a lot of things in my outer life and also need to release things in my inner life too. And to me, this painting is very much like a seed of a plant or a tree. That's why I've always seen this painting that way. I don't know if she intended that, but I've seen that. Oh, you did. Okay, good. I can see her here. So I saw it that way. And this was looking, studying up on seeds, just because I've been doing this for a few years. And this quote came, for a seed to achieve its greatest expression, it must come completely undone. For someone who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction. And I've held this quote for many years, actually through my first talk with CLM2. And there's a incredible amount of energy that's in a seed that allows it to actually burst open, the energy within, the light within. And it takes a certain amount of conditions outside of the seed and around the seed for it to actually grow and to fulfill its own purpose. So this is what we're going to share a little bit about tonight, is this breaking process. And these pieces of the seed could be things in the outer world that we have to let go of, or they could be concepts, beliefs, emotions, anything that we need to let go of inside of ourselves too. It could be both. Oftentimes they're very connected. I just love this quote. This is from Matthew. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. This is the third eye. It also goes on to say, but when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So really this is about tonight, where I've found it incredibly important that when we are going through a breaking process, which a lot of people are right now, we're probably on this call, certainly friends and family, and certainly people all around us in our communities and around the world, that we can see clearly what's actually going on, to have the eyes of God and to have the heart of God. Otherwise, if we fixate on those pieces that are breaking off, we can get lost in them. You know, we can get lost in the pain. We can get lost in the things that are happening on the news, or the news is happening in our minds, frankly. It's just a reflection. Our minds are just reflecting, or everything out there is reflecting what's going on in ourselves. So having this clear seeing becomes very, very important. And sometimes I use metaphors to help me, because they help me to get a bigger picture, a much wider lens, so to speak. So I'm going to use a lot of metaphors tonight. And this one metaphor I've always held with me for many years. It's from a movie called The Right Stuff. And it reminds me of a seed breaking and this one clip. And what it shows is Chuck Yeager, who is a fighter pilot, breaking the sound barrier. And what's happening in the cockpit looks like total chaos. And he stays focused on the light, no matter what's going on inside. So now, no matter what you're going through right now, it doesn't matter. There's always support all around you, and we'll get more into that. And to really have a clear seeing, to really see clearly what's actually going on, we can only do that from a larger perspective. You know, what I love about that is it shows, you know, no one had ever broken the sound barrier before. And it shows Chuck Yeager staying very focused on his intention and really seeing clearly beyond all the things that were breaking up, that looked like the ship was breaking up or pieces may fall off. And he stayed connected to that. And he also stayed connected to the folks that were helping him guide him along. And I also like the clip because it shows kind of those characters on the bottom on land, like what just happened. And that's what happens. We have parts of us that get confused when we break through belief systems, when we break through things that identities of who we think we are, when we break through and break off expectations, break through judgments. There's these characters inside that come up and they get really, really intense. And we have to make sure we stay in the light because these characters can be very convincing. And when we do breakthrough, sometimes they still come back and they say, you're crazy. Just like at the end there. They said, I think you're seeing things. When we actually move into the light, we go into a much more expanded space. And that's what we're getting into tonight. So everything that you hear tonight is really about hearing through the stories, through the videos, through the silence itself. You can take this in as a healing because what we're going to do is we're allowing you to see a wider view. Allowing yourself to see a wider view within your own life. So before I bring in Padre and Renee, I just want to touch on something. So why does this happen? I personally love humor. If I didn't have humor, if my guides were not humorous, I would go crazy on this planet because it's intense. And sometimes we need things to lighten the mood. And so sometimes I watch cat videos. Sometimes I make jokes at myself. I do different things. And there's one thing I do, which is I try to make light of the voices, all those voices. We all have voices in the mind that tell us different things. And I like to see them as little characters so that they don't seem so big. So this is a thing called internal family systems. And it talks about our internal world. So that's us sitting in me sitting in my living room. And then there's all these little voices underneath. And what can happen, you know, I'm just innocently sitting there. If I'm going through a big shift, like one of these things, which all of us are going through right now, you know, some of these voices can start coming up from underneath the living room. You know, make yourself beautiful, get a good career, buy more stuff, go on Netflix, keep looking at your phone. These are mine, except the beautiful thing. I don't think I say that. Be a good mom. Make sure that you are useful in this world. You know, make sure you're saving the planet. That can be a voice too. That can unground us. So there's a lot of voices. They could be not just negative voices, but what we might consider positive voices. And what can happen when we're going through an experience of breaking, when we're going through an experience where God is really wanting to just break us open and bring us to a new level of heart expansion, a new level where we want to feel and experience our heart more in the world, where we want to connect with people, is sometimes these characters get afraid. So this might be my inner perfectionist, which was coming up right before the call, because technology was not working, the little perfectionist with the books here. And it was trying to control Miriam and Padre and Brian and Renee, like, no, do this, do this. And I had to keep saying, okay, I need to go back to my prayer closet. I don't have to worry, even though the technology is not working. I see the little character here. It's trying to pop in. And I'm being asked in this moment to live what I'm talking about, to let this part of me break, the thing that thinks that I need to do this perfectly, that the technology even needs to work. Maybe the technology doesn't have to work today. Just to let it all go, really, just to let it all go. So what we want to allow is to develop this connection with God so that God can start being the director or a higher self, both in union together. And this is something I've learned in many groups I've been in, and Oneness has stressed this, and now the Golden Age movement has stressed this quite a bit, that when seeing happens, suffering ceases. When we can get a bigger understanding of what's actually happening, then it's easier to let go. We don't hold on so much onto things. And that may not necessarily mean all of our suffering goes away, but that when we can allow ourselves to see, oh, this is just a part of me that is frustrated again, that I think I need to be really spiritual right now. You know, I think I need to be really accepting right now. I think I need to be totally forgiving right now of everything. And what this is saying is, no, let's just see. Let's just allow ourselves to see and then let God take over from there. And this is why it becomes really important, this bond with God and our guides, which I didn't really understand for a very long time until I started feeling a presence in my heart that would, it's hard to really describe, but it would almost start to take over. You know, it was me and not me at the same time. It was beyond my personality. This can be Buddha, it can be Kuan Yin or Mary, it could be a big ball of light. It doesn't really matter, but this bond is real. And that's something that's beautiful in this ministry, is that we create a space here. It's been gifted with a way for people to really connect with the heart and connect with the heart of God. I just wanted to bring, before we move forward, I wanted to bring Renee and Padre in and just ask them some questions about some of their own breaking experiences. And Padre, I think I'm going to ask you first and just ask, and you could take any of these questions here, but recall a breaking experience in your life. What was God asking you to let go of, whether it's something inside of you or something outside of you or both? And what was the deeper wisdom God was trying to impart to you as you were going through that or afterwards?
I'm sure I've had many of those moments. Sometimes I don't want to look at them, but I know they were a breakthrough moment for me. The idea of that question provoked me to think about a time when I had a co-business with another partner, and for 10 years I did national conferences for bookstores, and that was a job in itself. And after that 10 years, I remember feeling, ooh, my partner asked me if I would like double now for the next year, the next 5 years, to double the products and things like that. And you know, I prayed about it, and then I thought, I don't think so. I think it's time for me to just say I'm going to part. And so I prayed on it, and eventually I told him, I'm deciding I'm going to let go of my partnership. I'll give you 2 months to find somebody to replace me, and bygones will be bygones. And God was really good to me those 10 years. And I thought, this is good to go. And all of a sudden, and he said, okay. Then he came back about a month later, and he kind of proposed, and it was like, I felt like someone stabbed me in the heart. It's like, we had such a good business partnership for these 10 years, and now you're treating me like I don't exist. And that was a wound that was really deep in me. And what happened in the end was I didn't get to finish out my term, and everything was, I hadn't talked to him since. It was one of those cold goodbyes, let's put it that way. And what I learned through that, I was always in ministry with Ron. It was kind of like ministry was my part-time job. and the bookstore was my major. But I made the decision to just leave. You know, it's like, I'm done. With no outcome, with all the products that I had still, but I left. It took me probably about 6 months to forgive that person that I did. But what I learned through that was God prepared me to step into ministry. Ron Roth was always saying, you got to quit your job and work for me. Well, he wasn't paying me. So that was a little bit about my little stubbornness. Show me the money and I'll go there. Well, that didn't happen. So when I made the decision to leave, there was no guarantee that I was going to be in ministry. I'll still do ministry, but it would have been volunteer. And what happened was the board decided to bring me on. And it's like, but that wasn't a given. It was by trusting God. So I knew, like you said, break me. And it's like, when I'm trying to end, and I thought this has been a good ride, and all of a sudden I can go into the sunset and just enjoy life to the fullest. What didn't happen that way? It was more of a crashing, a breaking from the ending, so a brand new could happen. And I just know that I'm learning, even though the outcome isn't what I think it is, you still make the decision. And to me, the peace that passes on, I listened to the voice that says, it's time to leave. But there was no place to jump to, but I did anyway. And to me, it was now I'm leading this ministry. So that leap was a one that I took the first step by letting go of what it was my business. And now ministry is all who I am. So thanks for asking me that question, Brian.
Yeah, I love that, Padre. And you know, what really strikes me is the part about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
that it, you allowed, it takes time, and but you allowed that to move through.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to get into more of that later, but I want to highlight it because there's something really important with this breaking process, that forgiveness is a big piece of it. So thank you for sharing that.
Welcome.
How about you, Renee?
Well, I was thinking a lot about your question as Padre was talking, and I was thinking about last week when I had shared how I had come to celebrating life, because I started asking some questions about wanting a deeper relationship with God and what would that look like and what does it mean to surrender. And so the more I asked the questions, there came a point where I felt incredibly separated from God, or what I thought was God. And I wasn't really sure what that relationship was supposed to look like. But I do remember that part of me, for me, the person, the voice that you talked about in the living room that came up was being perfect. And I had to be perfect in order to enter into a relationship with the divine. And that for me started kind of my downward spiral into breaking, because I was like, well, wait a second. It didn't make sense. This is supposed to be a loving God. Do I need to be perfect? And so for me, that's the voice that I kept hearing was, no, you need to be perfect. You got to be perfect. You can't go and ask for God for a relationship if you're not perfect. And so I just remember it was probably right before I had joined the student program where I did have a break at one of the retreats where I really broke down and I felt my heart shatter and I felt really lost and I didn't know I wanted that relationship. I knew I wanted the more, but I didn't know what that was or what that meant. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a huge breaking point for me where I felt like I was just like falling into pieces and I didn't know how was I going to rebuild or put myself back together. So I was like big puddle at one of the retreats because I wanted more of God, but I didn't know what did that mean and what was my life going to look like. Mm-hmm. And the whole perfection piece came into play. So that for me has, that's still there, that voice. And then I just have to practice being aware of, oh, hey, there you are again. And I don't need to be perfect to have that relationship with the divine or to surrender. I can surrender just as I am with all my whatever, but here I am, Lord. Take me, show me where to go.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Renee. Reminds me of, I had the same thing I told you, perfectionism. And I find it comes up intensely when I'm going through big shifts like that. And I have to keep coming back to my heart because the heart shatters it all. That spiritual heart that we have connection to. That stuff can't live there. It kind of goes back into hiding. Or maybe it'll shatter completely. I don't know. But I love your honesty and I appreciate that, because that honesty is what gets us through and makes us available, from my experience, to receive more presence, God's presence. So thank you. We'll get back into some of these stories too with them. I want to share a little bit more about our bond with God or spirit. And this used to be very, like I said, intellectual to me. I knew there was something deeper in me that felt a connection with God. But as I went through schooling, which was great, it helped me in many ways, I also found myself getting more intellectual and building a muscle of a certain part of my mind versus, let's say, the divine mind or the heart. To me, they're in some way, they're similar. And there's something that's always, when I'm going through tough times, Jesus is such a beautiful example to me of someone who moves through suffering with grace. And he just, and also someone who just embraced his purpose here and really lived fully. There's a scene in, I believe it's Luke, something like that. Let's say it's Luke. Yeah, Luke. Where he's, right before he's sent to the cross, right before he's betrayed, where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. I always get that wrong. Yeah, Gethsemane. And he's pretty much saying, God, you know, can you take this away from me? This is a sense, you know, this is too much. And yet, you know, he said, you know, there's a little moment of doubt there or pain. There's just a lot of grief. He's going through a lot of grief. And then he said, but your will, not my will. So Jesus went through pain just like we do. He was human. And he had a very strong connection with the divine. And he had, just like a lot of us right now, we're going through a lot of things. One of the things he was showing us was how to pray, you know, that honesty. Like, I don't want this right now. This is true. There's a part of me that doesn't want this, but your will, not my will, not my ego's will, your will. The partnership I've created, my higher self created with you, God, I want that to happen. I want to be willing to open to that. And so because of that prayer and that connection, you could see that angel came in and offered him support, and it helped him. It gave him strength to move on his path. That was the presence. You know, he allowed that presence. And there were many more moments of that that happened along the way for him too. I'm just going to ask everyone, you know, as we're moving along, like as Padre always said, this is a healing time. This is a healing service. And there are angels and guides with you right now. And if you can just allow yourself, whatever you're going through, just to be held, just to know that you might feel a touch of a slight pressure on your shoulder or your back or your head or your heart, and to let that healing presence in. So my words are just my words. This is just a presentation. What's more important than that is to let in the healing. Is to let in that healing, because this is real. This is real. Whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter. There's nothing too big for God. You take one step towards God, God takes 1,000 steps towards you. It's just that one moment of willingness, just to receive that grace. And as we move forward, I'm going to share a little bit more, but you just continue, you can continue, you can have your eyes closed. You don't have to look at the presentation. You could just hear my words if you'd like. You can lay down if you'd like. This is all about the energy of the heart. This is all about the energy of God. This is all about the Spirit of God, which is coming in now. It's coming into the space, and it wants to be with you. This is where we all come from. One of the most beautiful things of this scene, I think, is that it was in an olive, bunch of olive trees. And with the olive trees, they need to go through, to become olive oil, they need to go through a crushing process, a process of crushing and breaking open and breathing and crushing again. What they're doing is God is crushing out, it's gnawing out all the bitterness. That's what happens with the olives. So it takes all of that intense bitterness out, and it creates something more useful, which is the olive oil. So as we're moving through now, just allow yourself to keep receiving that healing. This is a quote from James, which I'll read to you. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And this is where that bond with our Creator, you know, bond with our guides, or bond with whatever guide is important to you, becomes really important so that we can move through this process of the crushing. That's what it can feel like, literally. The same thing for wine. It's creating new wine. We are the wine itself in this crushing, this pressing process. Something, I remember I was reading one of Von Roth's books, and it was talking about the dark night of the soul, which I know a lot of us have gone through. And it said, God, you think you have gone through a lot until the dark night comes, and then God takes everything away, even the good things, because God knows that there's something even better. There's something even better waiting. I've experienced this many times. And this is the new wine. You know, this is, when I saw this and I heard a song about this, I start seeing communion differently too in the wine. God wants to crush the grapes, to let out these programs and these old beliefs about ourselves, all these old energies, all these old emotions, which we can't hold on to. Can't hold on to, and the light that wants to burst through is the seed that we are, that moves into the expression that we are. And what can happen is we can stop the process. And I do that all the time. Less and less so, or at least I whine about it. I don't stop it too long. So the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders, give orders to God, and interfering with God's work within us. Can we really allow this this crushing to happen. We don't have to see crushing as a bad thing. We could see this breaking open as a joyful thing, breaking open to the light that we are, something much bigger that we're being invited into on our path, beyond anything that we can imagine. Even when we visualize things, we can't even imagine what God has that's possible for us. It's by the same author. When you come to the end of yourself, you find the beginning of God. Then something beautiful, this refers back to Renee's talk about being in the desert. You know, something beautiful emerges when we allow ourselves to be in that stillness. Because when we're in stillness, as Padre said at a conference call with Raj and Catherine Baugh the other night, when we're in that stillness, it brings all our stuff up. You know, that's why it's hard to be in stillness, because all our stuff starts rushing forward. Why can't I be in stillness? Why can't I be in stillness? Well, because all these parts, these little characters come forward, particularly when we're going through a tough time. So this clear seeing becomes really important, that we can see clearly. This bond with our Creator becomes really important. This allowing, allowing the pressing to happen, allowing ourselves to bake in the oven, allowing this process of the seed to grow into its expression becomes really important. And then there's a flower that appears in the desert. No matter how small it is, it's still, we still want to honor it. And when that happens, is there's something that happens within us where we start to reclaim something innocent inside of us. And then once we can do that, we can give that back to God, give that back to others. Every time I find a picture with kids these days, I see myself. That's an image of me, a little kid with a little robe, white robe with curly hair. Just another image of me with Jesus. I kind of looked like that when I was young. So we can integrate these innocent part of ourselves back into our being. And that's what helps us feel safe in the world. And ultimately, what is this new wine? It's really a gift of ourselves. This, we are the expression. We are the gift back. You can see the sort of the head portion here is emptiness. You know, we can't, like St. Francis says, make me a vessel of your peace. We can't be that peace unless we empty out. You know, make me a vessel of your joy. Make me a vessel of your equanimity, God. Make me a vessel of that still small voice. Make me a vessel of intuition, of clarity. These are all aspects or qualities of God, that when we allow ourselves to break, we become the gift. We become that flower. And that's God's gift to the world. This is from Sri Rama Bhagavan. Growth only happens through contribution. You need to give in order to receive. And we also need to receive in order to give. So it's a fluid thing. They're all connected. We're all parts of God. I just want to bring it a little bit full circle before I bring them in. And if you can come back to me, Brian. Padre originally had, or we can have Renee. Padre originally had this passage, you know, the narrow gate. I'm going to read it to you because this is really important. This is summing up the whole series that we've been in. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Now, right before this passage, I was reading it. Before this verse was another verse, and it was the golden rule in Matthew. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. And I just love that story that both Renee and Padre talked about. And Padre was talking about forgiveness. How do we enter that narrow gate? How do we enter where we start to become unified with God? We need to forgive, no matter what, no matter who it is, what's happened in our life, what part of our life. And mostly we need to forgive ourselves. And to accept what's happened. And there's a grace that comes in when we can do that. Because we can't do forgiveness alone. That's a project for God. It's too big. It's a grace that's too big. So before I go into my quick story, I'm going to bring in Padre and Renee and just ask you, you know, what in your own breaking experiences, whether it's this or something else, what graces were given to you by God after your own great breaking process that you were then able to give back to others? So how did your personal transformation to the new wine support yourself and other people? So Renee, we'll start with you.
I would say for probably the greatest gift has been to show up fully present, fully in the here and now. And that for me has been the greatest gift that God has worked with me and kind of nurtured. If we think about the seed in terms of opening up to the light, that has been a huge part of my journey, is showing up fully present, because then I am also then more available in that moment in present time for others. And I to be able to hold that space for them as others are breaking or having that experience where they're not sure where they're going or feeling lost or disconnected, to be able just to hold that space for them has been probably, I think that's been huge.
Yeah. And I could see that
of this process.
I can see that with you, Renee, because you, just when you share through prayers and through your talks, that energy of grace comes through you, and it's because you've allowed forgiveness to happen through you.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of that deeper self-acceptance, even with all the characters that pop up. People can feel it when their heart has been healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe the same thing with you said about Renee. It oozes out of her, but it's what was broken, what was crushed within her. And like me, you know, my story was about, part of it was forgiveness and letting go, and it took me like 6 months. The gift that came through that was, I'm a good German, so I think I can go ahead and go, I can do this and I can do that. Then everything be fine. And forgiveness didn't work that way. And what I came to believe after being broken was I needed help forgiving, because I'm forgiving. I'm doing that for that other person, still holding the grudge, but I'm forgiving them. And I realized I had to have an act of the spirit to take it and move it out of me, because on my own, I would leave certain parts just in case I could see that person again. So forgiving is being broken of that. And I remember Ron Roth always says, you'll know when you're forgiven if you can bless them, say, bless them with a new house or the new car, let them win the lottery. Because, you know, we like our stuff, we like our money. And if you can bless another person, say, God bless them that way, you realize you've crossed over and go, yes, you just want the best for the other person. And so, and God wants the best for me. But it's in that breaking that actually, like you said, Ryan, about the seed, it has so much power in it. But once it's broken over, then it can actually come to life. Mm-hmm. And until entering the narrow gate, I have to let go of all my stuff, even my good stuff, my business that I had. It's like, I thought, well, if I can trade it in and get some money for it, I'm good to go. And when I was left holding the bag, so to speak, and it's like, that was a heavy weight. I told my business partner, well, I'd rather give it to God than to you. And then he went click. And that was the last I heard of him. And ultimately, I gave a lot of it away. But it was true to my heart, because I'd rather have God have my stuff than give it to somebody who wouldn't appreciate it. So it was a long lesson to live, but I also believe it was part of what God was teaching me of letting go. Today, I'm part of this ministry, and it's like, who knew I had to let go of something really good for the best? And that's what God actually gave me. So it's that new wine's been continually flowing, and now flows through you and Renee and all our community. You know, it's like, it's pretty amazing.
So, well, I just want to share just briefly before going to the communion, something related to that. It's, I can tell how much work you've done around forgiveness, Padre, and how much, it moves through all of us. You know, it really impacts all of us, and that impacts others. And I just want to share one quick story. When I was a kid, I was bullied, and kind of, I was sort of the nerd, you know, typical, what they call the nerd, right? Studied a lot. So I was bullied and sort of ostracized, you know, that kind of stuff in elementary school. My parents know all about this. And I carried that grudge for years with the people in my school. And it got to a point, and when I was in the ministry, a little before I became a monk, I believe, where I really said, you know, it's time for me to let this go. I can't live with that. You know, there was sort of, I'd worked on it over many years, but there was something still I couldn't do myself.
Right.
And I really prayed, like you said, I don't know how to forgive. I can't let this go. You know, I need grace to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is bigger. This is just bigger than anything I personally can do as Ryan. And through this process for a couple of years, I just kept praying about it and praying. And there's something that broke in me, and I just felt love for them.
Mm.
And it was about the time I created my piano albums, and I put it up on Facebook, and they, you know, some of them were Facebook friends, and they started sharing it. And a bunch of them, they started saying how it brought them to tears.
Wow.
And it was a healing. And I could feel in that moment, oh, this is the gift. You know, this is the gift of what forgiveness can do is the insight. One of the big insights there was this love between myself and them was always there.
Mm.
It was never not there.
Yeah.
And through lifetimes and lifetimes of maybe trading places and just allowing, okay, this is done. This is done in this lifetime. It doesn't need to go further. You know, I'm going to take a step and ask God to clear this all and to heal all this. And what I realized was love was always there between us. It was always there. And that's what entering through the narrow gate is. Mm-hmm. It's recognizing that love is always there. So I'd like to leave everyone with that message, and I'm going to hand it back to Padre.
Sure. Ryan did a beautiful, has us all step into this moment, and forgiveness is a big part of that moment, but it's also about the breaking of what we need as individuals to step into this new, because entering into the narrow gate, on the other side of that is the hand, or the hands that says come. Because love is always given, always there, always ready to receive us. My flesh is weak, but my spirit is strong. That is an incredible word for all of us tonight. We're start to move into communion. So if you have your elements, let's bring them forward. Otherwise, if you don't, you know, just place your hand on your heart and just do a spiritual communion with us. Because it's really about the love of God that we're entering into. I'm going to use in the beginning for the communion, I'm going to ask Renee, communion for the bread, what does that represent to you, for you to be broken in essence? Mm. I know for me is bread came from wheat. So the idea of that seed that has so much power.
Yeah.
So every time we're broken, something happens, but we have to allow it because our weakness is I need more of God. So what would that be for you and our audience listening in? What would you say that how you can enter in, how we can enter in broken?
I think when we break this bread, we allow more light, more grace. We allow the more of God to enter into our lives. When we take this bread and we break it. And we give thanks for that light, for that love, for that more of God. We want more of you, God.
We want more of you, God.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful statement. So if you have the elements, whether it's a bread, crackers, whatever it is, it said when Jesus, the night before he was betrayed, he took bread. And it said he first looked up to his heavenly Father and gave thanks. Thanks is that gratitude that for my life, for my home, for my health, for my finances, for my children, for my workplace, for being on this Zoom call. There's a blessing in every single element. So as we break the bread, Jesus said, he broke bread. He gave thanks. And then he gave it to disciples and said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be broken for you. What Jesus just represented was his own body was broken. His spirit was broken. Everything he gave up in order to enter into that narrow gate. So as you and I receive the first element, the communion, the bread, we forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The great law. The great Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So let's receive it. And in receiving it, we're actually receiving the blessing. Like and when we enter to that narrow gate, there's hands that are waking us, waiting for to love us, to heal us. This is actually a healing service. So when we receive this bread, we're receiving the manna from heaven. For whatever we lack will be given unto us. Because we allow the Christ love, the Holy Spirit, to do her work in us now. So let's receive that grace. Then he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to his heavenly Father. He blessed it. It says, take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the cup of my salvation, my healing. for it's a new covenant that Jesus said. It's his blood. But when we enter into that oneness with God, then we are co-heirs. We're a beloved daughter. We're a beloved son. So we agree that Jesus died for us, but now we get to live in eternity with him. So Brian, as the wine was being crushed, pressed, broken, the ooze out, the fresh wine, what does that represent to you and to all of us as we enter into this state of grace tonight?
Allowing us to remember that we all have the same blood, the same life force. It's all comes from the same source. It's all one. And we're all invited to allow ourselves to move into new expressions of who we are. We come from God, and we can all be allowing ourselves to be this new wine as a gift, as an offering, you know, as an offering of joy, as an offering of peace. So it shows to me our oneness with each other. There are no differences that cannot be overcome with love. And this wine represents the spirit of love.
You talked about, Ryan, about the wine representing our old beliefs, because when it's being crushed, our old patterns, our old friends that we have to let go of, or our dream. For me to give up my conference bookstore, it was my baby. It's what I created, and it was very successful. And then now I have to give it up, but it was for the greater good, for what I'm doing right now. So as we receive the wine, the new wine in our lives, we let go of the old, whatever was crushed in us or what we have a hard time letting go of. Let this new wine start a new beginning for each of us, which can also mean the receiving of your healing. For me, this represents Jesus' blood. So if his flesh and blood is within us, then we have the miraculous. So all our pain, our disease can leave the body in a moment because it's a holy breath. There was Ron Roth and I, we did many healing masses many years ago. And I remember one testimony that came was a lady who, she had cancer of the tongue. And when it came time for communion, it's like she didn't know if she could even chew it. So she broke it apart and just put it in her mouth. The next day, she couldn't actually talk because of the cancer just ruined her whole mouth. And the next day, she got up, made coffee, and she started talking to her husband. He goes, "You know what you're doing?" It's like, "What?" He goes, "You're talking." And it's like, "Oh my God, I was healed during the Mass." It was when she received communion, she received her healing. So whatever ailment you have, this is not symbolism. It's actually essence. So as we allow the co-creator of the universe to heal us, restore us, let's receive the new wine in our lives. Receive the body of Christ. There's a holy silence that is just surrounding us right now. Just as Ryan talked about the angels, the entities that were around us, it's also now filling us, also laying hands on us for our healing, for our restoration, for the healing of the mind. I thank you, O Lord our God, for the renewing of the mind, but also healing of old relationships and entering into the new. I thank you, God, for your living presence tonight. It's the glory of God that will fill our inner temple. We thank you, O Lord our God, for these huge revelations that Ryan gifted us with tonight, for the sharings of Renee, the grace that comes just by the spoken word. I thank you, O Lord our God, for your words, my words, now co-creates miracles in other people's lives. What we have received, we give away freely. I thank you, God, for your living word made flesh tonight and dwelt among us. Holy, holy, holy Lord God. As Yogananda would say, God, 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 your holy presence fills our temple. Let the silence, the solitude, the inner desert speak to us volumes of how much God loves you and I and this community. So let's bless our families now, our parents, our children, our workplace. We pray for all those who are encountering the fires in California. Father, let your holy presence just put out the flames. Bring safety to the humans and the animals. Father, let your holy breath just dissipate the hurricane now in the south. Bring safety to all your people, those who call upon your name. I thank you, O Lord our God, for that grace now. Heal, restore, heal, restore. I'll ask Ryan, then I'll ask Renee if you have a prayer request, generally or with the participants.
So my prayer is that we all remember there is nothing too great for God. There is nothing too great for God. So I ask that, God, you help us remember that you live within us, that we come from you.
Yes.
That source is ever present. It's infinite. Infinite possibilities reign within us. And that we remember that the first prayer on our hearts is to be unified with God.
Mm.
Everything comes from there. Everything comes from there. So that everyone on this call be graced with that blessing and that remembrance that that can be the first prayer on our hearts and everything flows from there.
Mm.
May all our families be blessed with that. And may all our lineages be blessed with that.
Amen. Beautiful, Brian. How about you, Renee?
My prayers for all of us on the call. May we be like the seedling and allow life to unfold. Allow God to take over and grow within you so that he may give birth and have new life. For our family, our friends, let us be the seeds and continue to grow into the more. Amen.
Amen. What beautiful prayers. Well, let me close, but the angels, the saints, the light beings are with you as you, whether you take your nap, go to bed, you awaken in the morning with these brand new seeds that have been placed during the night into your temple to be given away tomorrow, this weekend, next week, next month. The great I Am presence is here. The great I Am presence walks with us, like Enoch, as a friend of God. I thank you for your holy presence. And as each of us enters into the narrow gate of your presence, O Lord, may your love be revealed, your kindness, your mercy, your healing be revealed in all those who participated in this class. I bless those who need your help right now. We just call upon your holy angels. Come, Spirit of Christ, minister to those in need. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for joining us, everyone. Renee, Ryan, thank you so much for participating. You've been awesome. This has been a great teleclass for each of us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, everyone.